Welcome back to this episode of Zen Mama and Everyday Gurus. This is Mary. I am really excited to have a guest today. Jen DeRoss was a guest on the podcast a few years ago. So I will, in the show notes, link you to that episode if you want to go back and listen to that. And just as a quick recap, I met Jen. I online rented a tent, an Airbnb tent that ended up being on her beautiful little retreat immersed in nature. It was called Nurture Through Nature in Maine. And that was where Jen was at that time. And that's how I got to meet her and was intrigued and incredibly moved by what she had created and did some incredible healing in that space. And we talked a lot about that last episode that she was on, but so much has changed on her journey. And she is such a wise woman and a beautiful soul. And I am so excited to have her here to share with you today. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Mary. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. I really do. In what you're doing. Thank you.
Oh. Thanks. As I said to her before we began, I think I somewhat selfishly had her on because of the transition that I'm in, and I follow you and I see what you're up to, and I know you're someone leading with your heart and really just finding your way forward based on what the universe is guiding you to do. And I admire that. I admire the risk, or the courage, I should say, it takes to do that. Unbridled faith, I guess, is sort of what I think about. It's something I'm really trying to practice right now in my life, and it's scary and exciting at the same time. And I know you work with women and other people, but I know you really have some beautiful offerings going on, and I'd love for you to share all about that as we go forward. Jen, how would you, just for the people listening, how would you describe what you share, your gifts that you share, your offerings in the world, your business even?
I love working with people, small groups or one-on-one, to help them find their way back to who and what they really are through the tools I offer, just to get more clear and therefore more creative and passionate and authentic. And it's usually used through, like, the tools would be nature or the healing arts or the work of Byron Katie, forms of meditation and conscious movement, just to help them be more comfortable in their own skin. And it's just so it's so inspiring to watch people wake up and come back home, you know? There's nothing better than to be a part of that conversation.
I love that. Maybe let's just talk about nature for a minute. I often say, it's the place I feel the most held. It's certainly the place that has brought me to my knees. It's the place that when I feel like I'm such a nurturer and raised so many people, humans in my life, it's the one place I can go and just be myself completely. So I definitely have that connection. I would love for you to share your connection and relationship spiritually. Also, as you reflected on that, at least on your website a little bit, and I saw it play out when I was around you. Yeah, I'd love for you to speak to your connection there.
Well, I'm really confident we all really have it, and it's detrimental when we separate from it with distraction or staying inside a lot or staying removed or protected or, removing ourselves from the elements or weather or any extremes. And I don't even mean extremes. I just mean, oh, it's cold. Oh, it's hot. Like, just to expand that and be in it, be in it, lean into what's here for us, I think is really good medicine. So for me, I get out every day as much as I can. It's very hard for me to be inside, and paying attention, noticing, it helps me to pay attention and notice my own internal state, how I'm doing, how I'm feeling. I always see the mirror in it, the metaphor in it. I pay attention to signs from the natural world. If something's trying to reach me through consciousness, through whatever's going on here, whatever our guides are, I really pay attention to birds or animals or the elements and see what it's whispering.
It's taking me to sharing that you, I think it's one-on-one, you bring women on canoe trips out in nature.
At this point, at this time, it's one-on-one. It used to be groups, and now I call it canoe coaching, and where we go out for a few hours or a day and do all kinds of practices in the elements, by canoe and on the shore. It's beautiful. It's transformative. It doesn't take more than a couple of hours to feel totally different.
It's almost as a guide, I would say, or coach. It almost like cuts your work down quite a bit when you just are bringing people out there, right? Because nature just does so much magic on its own.
Yeah, totally. It does like most of it. And then I'm just like a pointer to help people if they get distracted or some practices like Qigong, barefoot in the forest or on an island or on the shore, or being in a canoe with all of it, with the waterfowl, with the birds, with the trees, the wind, the sun, the sky, the water, the wooden canoe, this traditional mode of travel to the indigenous people here, of which we honor deeply and profoundly.
So beautiful. So I'm gonna jump a little bit here, and maybe you can like help me understand or vicariously live through your experience of when you made the transition from this beautiful oasis that you had built, and you just knew. I also like, how did you just know it was time to leave? And also, you took a journey. You left for a little bit and traveled some, from what I observed, and you shared some of that through some of your writing. But I would love for you to speak a little bit to that inner whisper or knowing of times of change. And I realize sometimes circumstances play into that. But I think a lot of people are looking for the signs, like looking for that inner voice or knowing. If you have practices to help you like tap into that, that's something you feel like you can speak to.
I think discernment, we may have talked about that last time too. Like sometimes it's hard to know what to do. You get this stirring. So to get clear and to get still, and to me, often feel it in my body, like in one of the energy centers, like in my third chakra or my fourth chakra or even my second. It's like these vortexes of energy that align with our endocrine system and acupuncture points and the elements and they're just power centers, I believe. And they become obvious to me. And when they sustain, if I'm in a clear, aligned state, if these sensations sustain, I know to listen. Because if I don't, I went off course. I'm still on the path, but I'm off course. I'm about to take a rocky, long road. And I don't want to do that at this, especially at this point in life. And I don't want to get sick or be negative towards people around me just because I'm not aligned to my heart or spirit. So I just, it was an overtaking feeling. It had been stirring, and I found myself in a very alluring relationship that kept me at Nurture Through Nature longer. And that ended up being not a place to be in that relationship. So it all blew up at the same time. The relationship blew up and it was right. And then it was like, okay, now I'm really listening. I need to leave. I need to hand this over to someone else. I know there's something waiting for me downstream, and I'm going to take my loves with me. In other words, my practices, hand this over to the next generation and be a mentor to her if needed. And it was, and move downstream. But be for me to make that move, because I was very involved and it was very encompassing, and running a retreat facility, an off the grid one, a green one, hosting groups, leading groups, and then hosting all these people coming through. I couldn't say I wasn't identified. I'm certain I was identified with that role, and it was consumptive, and I loved it, and I wanted something else. It was time for something more distilled and succinct with less overhead. I needed to simplify my life. And so for me to shift from that full-on world to a new beginning, a really like a birthing, it felt like I was leaving this nest that I had made for over 22 years, and it was like my everything, all my breathing, it was all my energy, you know? And I like it was so cool. Like what a gift. And the people I've met, oh my God, like hundreds and hundreds of people that feel like family to me, that we traveled together there because we did some really good personal work together there. So they're still with me, you know? But I needed to go on, I guess you might call it a sojourn or a sabbatical between that and moving to town. Like I was leaving a wilderness setting and moving towards Portland, Maine, the Maine's biggest space of the
Yeah.
most people. And so I had a camper and a truck, and I wanted to go take a couple of months to go on a, just see where I went, you know, kind of a major journey, and do some serious healing work of from the new beginning. Like, it was a birthing, but it was a challenging birth. This
Yeah.
week was long labor. And so I went in pretty hard, and brought lots of practices with me, and lots of like drumming and painting and meditating, and lots of sounds were happening to regroup, redefine, like unhook from
Yeah.
all the roles and responsibilities, from the heartache and the heartbreak and the dream of all of it. Like, I was living a dream, and the dream of a partnership, leaving it, just leaving it all. And wow, it was raw, you know? It was unfamiliar, and I just knew to do that. So I took 2 months to do that journey. The gift on the other end of it is I got to, my niece is in Kauai, so I got to spend some time there. Like, I jumped off from the West Coast and spent some time, a lot of time in the jungle, a lot of time on the beach. Oh, I was with family. I was alone a lot most of the days, you know, still cultivating, like floating, just floating, like letting the ocean take all of this stuff out of me.
It sounds beautiful, and I realize it's like a butterfly coming out of the cocoon. It's not without a lot of pain and effort
Was
to
raw.
squeeze.
Yeah. It wasn't a party. But it was just a necessary, like, I was all in to, like, let me keep feeling all my feelings. Like, see what comes up today. See what needs to come out, and just a lot of dancing.
So a lot of movement for you is like, I think some people get would say they would be fe there's fear around going to those places and afraid. I mean, I will say I have this sadness in me that at times I feel like I'm on the edge of this hole that I don't want to go too far in because I'm afraid I won't get out again.
Yes.
And so I'm just saying it takes courage to allow yourself to go in there. And the, I like you how you said you left with all your loves, which are your practices. Right, the things that hold and support you on those journeys into the darkness.
1,000%. I wouldn't be here without them. Very dedicated, and that's been a long journey, and they keep evolving, and they help me evolve. And what a gift that we have access to all these teachings and teachers and scriptures and practices. Thank goodness the masters have been so generous with us.
It's so
Wow.
true.
Like, and yeah, a lot of people feel that way, Mary. Like, I'm uncomfortable. I'm gonna fall in that hole and never get out. And I totally get that. And it's kind of like, if we don't go in it, we can't get through it. And we're not, this too shall pass. Like, over and over, it passes. And the more people avoid it, the more they suffer, and it drags it out, you know,
I do know.
it morphs it.
Well, it gives it a lot more control over you than it really. Often I say, like, if you turn and turn it, it's harder to keep it at bay than it is to just turn and walk into it. Because when you get in
Yes.
it, it's like, oh, all right, I can be here. Right? It's that anticipatory stress.
Yeah, it's just sensation. It was never as hard as I was afraid it might be. It was just like there was a lot of grieving. You know, I was grieving my old life, and I had to do that, those letting goes, those deaths, really be reborn. I really wanted to grow up in some ways, like grow again, grow through, and be on the other side of all the beauty that that was, and grow a new garden.
Well, I think, do you think that there, the way you, the intentionality of which you go into something like that, knowing there is light on this, believing there is light on the other side, is part of how you continue to move through it. You're moving to, even though you don't know what you're moving towards, you know you're moving towards something that is intentionally inside. You felt it would be more beautiful, I have to assume, and maybe I'm not assuming correctly, but I mean, I think that's how that's a kind of a warrior's journey. Our intention is that we're birthing something more beautiful if we can get there.
Yeah, get here.
Get here.
Yeah,
Yeah.
however it looks, however it feels.
You say that in a way as if it's a coming home.
Yeah, it's moment to moment, whatever arises, it's a journey, and it's not a journey. It's like it's right now.
It's oh, I see what you're saying. It's just what's unfolding. Yes, I love that. Really beautiful. So tell us what how that can keep us going as you did your two. And I also say sometimes I feel like the longing for clarity is so deeply desired that sometimes I always think it's going to be like some big event or some big moment, like a bolt of lightning is going, I used to anyway, think like, oh, I just want that like really one defining moment that brings me the clarity. And what I've realized, it's just sort of been an unfolding little like, oh, look where I arrived, and so I'm not sure. Did that clarity just sort of come to get you back, or did you come back and things began to unfold as to what was next for you?
I think that it's like the little things, the little guidance points that happen all day long are the big clarities. Like, oh, I didn't like, oh, I walked that way on my path and I got to hang out with this hawk for an hour. Like, I could have missed that in a second. And it knew to walk that way at that time. And its head turned and there it was, this hawk on the ground. Like, so I think the clarity is incessant guidance with, okay, I don't do anything until I get aligned. You're focusing on alignment.
Yes, let's talk about it. Yeah.
I don't, and then I can answer your other question.
Okay.
The first, my priority, more than not, it morphs if I'm traveling or if I have company, but that's not all that much. So other than that, it's 100% every single day I align my shit. All of it, which is a poor use of language. What I mean is, I align my body with my heart, with my mind, with source. And whatever that looks like that morning, I carve out anywhere from a half an hour to 90 minutes every single day to get in a state of appreciation, lightheartedness, and openness. And then I watch where I'm guided. Then I watch where clarity brings me. I don't make decisions, or decisions don't make me if I'm in a funk. I don't listen to them. I don't give them credit because they're funky. So my priority is to feel good. And in that space, I can help others to do that for themselves too and be more of service, yet it's feeding me too. So before I meet with people, clients, or anyone, I do my best to be aligned. That day, it's so important. It's everything. And then everything comes from that.
Can you share how you what you do in your 30 to 90 minutes?
Yeah, I make a mindful cup of coffee. First thing, I feed my cat. She's awesome. I make my coffee. We have our own little dance. And then I go outside, no matter what the weather, no matter what the season. And I say this prayer to the new day. It's like an affirmation. It feels good just to be in the elements, in the dark usually, and just kind of put it out there. And I go in and I light a candle, and I light something that smells good, and take a few breaths, and then I just sit there with my coffee and see what happens. Do I have a stressful thought right now? Do I need to do the work? What's coming up in me? So the work of Byron Katie is a way to identify and question those stressful thoughts. And I have a notebook specific for that. I have what I would call sacred scriptures of like brilliant authors that I see as teachers. I'll read an excerpt from that. I'll do a I'll look for, if I'm in a situation that feels stressful that I don't know what to do with, I'll look for positive aspects of that situation. I write them down on a page in another journal. Like, that might be, I might do a rant of appreciation there, or like positive aspects of that, or what's really working in my life. And I draw a card. I'll ask myself a question, and and draw a card and see if and how it speaks to it. Those, that's what that looks like. That's the length of a couple cups of coffee. Yeah. And it's probably about an hour, and then I'm ready to move. So then I'm doing a lot of laughter yoga these days.
Oh, I love that.
I've been doing that for about a year and a half on pretty much a daily basis. I either laugh in the mirror or I laugh for 10 minutes dancing, and it helps me to take myself less seriously. And even if it's contrived, it's still like I do end up cracking myself up because it's so ridiculous. And because I'm in serious work kind of with people, mm-hmm. I also don't want to get serious, too serious. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like I heard this Buddhist quote, like this work we're doing is too important to take seriously.
Yeah.
So like I want to be light about mm-hmm. this life. So I'll dance and laugh or dance and sing or dance and make noises for 10 minutes. That's a really big ritual for me. And then I'll do either Qigong or yoga, or a couple days a week I do like this workout that,
yeah,
like circuit training, because I think it's important to stay physically well and able-bodied. That's a big value of mine.
Yeah.
So I can do the things I love and be pain-free for as long as I can. So I want to take care of the machine, but more than anything, I take care of my mind, because mm-hmm. that takes care of my heart.
Oh, I like how you put that. Anchoring that wandering mind, or getting it. Let me just say thank you for sharing your laughter rituals. I too, like, I kind of forgot how to have fun because I've worked so hard and my work has been very meaningful.
Yes.
And, you know, some events in my life have been rather serious, as many are, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm always looking for the lesson and how I can grow and like, how can this be a squeeze for something, you know, better? But I really have realize there's many days I go without laughing. You know, I might even practice the positive, you know, gratitude, you know, positive uplifting emotions, but that's very different than unbridled laughter.
Yes, laughing for no reason. And I got this guidance to get trained in that laughter yoga from.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a, just so everybody, whoever's listening to this, it's so easy to do. And I'll get you the link, because I don't want to miss it to share later. But for a very reasonable rate, you can get certified online to be a laughter yoga instructor. And then you can get the advanced training. So the training in itself is ridiculously awesome. And I too was getting too serious. And in that training, I learned that the average adult laughs 15 times a day and the average child 300 times a day.
Oh, yeah, I think I've read that before. Yeah.
And the ticket to joy, which we're all looking to, you know, to feel more and more happy, more and more peace, is to be more childlike, to be more playful, to dance and sing and laugh more, just like kids.
Yeah.
And now that I got that training and I've been practicing it as an adult, when I hang out with the kids, with my nieces and nephews, like, and I just see how joyful they are especially when they're on their own, you know, they're just so playful. Everything's so fun. And they're giggling all the time. And now I am joining them in that laughter more and more, you know, like, I see them, and I may have even missed it, even though I adore them. Like, I just, it's so important. It's so important to be more childlike and get in touch with who that little kid is that got snuffed out or we snuffed out. I am so committed. Yeah.
I love that. I have been definitely more in a creative space lately. And it has awakened something that was quite dormant for a little while, I had come to realize. So I've just been remembering all those things. It's interesting that we're talking about this, which is just something you're living, but you know, so many years I worked in academic medicine, and it was so what it was, linear, you know, and it was so not in alignment in so many ways. I mean, I understand why I was there, and I did try to make a lot of changes, but it's a beast. But I realized what it did to my creativity. Like, I used to just love to spend hours in the woods, and my fairy self has come back, you know, like I, my wings. And, you know, when I go into meditation, I find myself like in this forest, and it's really beautiful. And I am just realizing this time, these few months that I've had to really continue to journey home into myself, which went. Which is, was different but similar. I didn't go on the road, but I sat with all sides of myself and didn't try to push them in any particular direction, more just see it for what it was and realize there was some of it I could let go. And when I was able to do that, what arrived was this reawakening. I mean, I had to at first be like, oh, what's happening? I have to pay attention to this like little image that's coming into my head. But anyway, it's just brought me more into just like doodling and, you know, just listening, not always having an intention for some sort of outcome with every action that I take, but just letting myself, you know, be more present, where I think I really practice mindfulness before in a way to just sort of manage my stress. And like, I can only manage right now because there's so many other things unfolding, rather than really, I mean, not that I didn't sometimes appreciate the, you know, the smallness of the moment and the rich yumminess of it. I will say that I've always done that, but it's just expanded as I've allowed my creativity to be more in the forefront of my life.
It's
And
wonderful.
it's, yeah, it's kind of, I think what I'm realizing, and I've been, you know, doing a lot more writing, and I just realize it's so essential to our health and well-being. And I think our society has really, if we're not intentional about it, it's really easy to get away from that and just be showing up for the things that serve or the systems that we live in. Does that make sense? So reawakening, anyway, and laughter falling into that, and it's all like loosening the edges a little bit has all, it's all the ways that I guess I have remembered the importance of, or maybe I've just realized I haven't been laughing and as lighthearted as I would like to be. So tell me, so just the practice of having a daily practice of laughter and dancing around and stuff, does, I mean, it must have the same sort of imprint on your body, repatterning ways of being.
I notice that I giggle more throughout the day. I find much more amusing than before in little things that I'll do that I would have beat myself up for before. There's this tendency to still do that, but I end up just laughing, which feels so much kinder. And I've been practicing this since November. I got the training a year ago, November. So it's pretty
Okay.
much every day I'm carving out. The big one is 3 minutes in the mirror.
Okay.
That's a big one.
Just smiling and laughing at yourself in the mirror. All right. Well, that sounds like that's, I mean, 3 minutes probably feels like a long time when you're doing it, I'm guessing. At first, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I'll let you know. I was taking the SMART training. It's stress management and resiliency training, which I've done a lot of work around. And there is one section of it that is about laughter. And so we're doing it in groups, and we're just like, someone would start laughing and it would be a contagious thing to do. Awkward, but contagious, right? Yeah. And I imagine that's sort of what happens when you're teaching a group. Once you get it going, it kind of gets a life of its own.
It does. It's our nature.
Yeah. Oh, to wanna laugh. Yeah.
Yeah, to connect and be silly and
Yeah.
free.
I love that. Tell us more about the warrior, the spiritual warrior work. I have to believe this all accumulates to that, or I just want to know. I want to know what you do in this 7-month course with these women, other than laugh,
We
and
do
be
that.
outside. Yeah.
It's one of the birthings that came through from that solo journey and then coming back to nothing that first summer coming back. It was my first summer in a new place. I didn't know anybody here. I had like really moved downstream, and it was uncomfortable. That first summer without Nurture Through Nature, I was very uncomfortable. I was spinny. I didn't have anything to do, like nothing like how consumed I was. Yeah, like I was really busy a lot, and I have a lot of energy. So And I loved it. It was fine. And now it was like not there. It was not happening. I had a handful of clients, very quiet summer schedule, like nothing I've ever had as an adult. So, part of the sojourn and then coming back is where, like, I decided to not medicate, or distract from how uncomfortable this was, and just keep coming back to leaning into how I felt, untethered, unattached, free, yet kind of tormented because I had all this space without any productivity, like any direction. So things started to come in that felt really right. Like I had iterations of this school I wanted to have in the past, but I was so consumed with running the retreat center, I couldn't give it what I wanted to. I had a lot of eggs in a lot of baskets. So now that that was gone, those iterations morphed into this compressed, like, offering of anything and everything that's ever worked for me into one training that I could do out of my home in Westbrook, Maine. And it's 7 months because I think spiritual endurance matters and it's something to develop. Anybody can do anything. For a day, a weekend, 30 day, this and that. We're doing 7 months and we're all in. So in the it's like, what do I mean by all in? Like, this is like a school for personal development. And if you want to work with people on the other side of it, if you fully participate, you'll get certified as a coach, like a holistic life coach. You don't have to do it for that reason. It's just for like, if you want, more wonder in your life, if you want to just like step into this life change, like a lot of people in it are burnt out or they're balanced, their life isn't balanced, or they're retiring and they're like, oh, what's after that? Or they're, and I've got people in every decade from 20s to 70s. So it's multi-generational, which I think is really cool. Like everybody's like looking at their lives going, what's going on? Like now what? Like, what's missing? What's happening? So it's a school of like really coming back home, like every single day. So, you know how I shared my morning practices? Well, they're doing versions of that every day. They're doing, like, we have a theme every month. We're moving through the seven directions on the medicine wheel. We're moving through the seven chakras, the seven wheels of wellness. Western wellness model. And we're overlapping this with Taoist Qigong, the yogic philosophy, engaged Buddhism, indigenous wisdom, and the Western model. Like all these things that have fed me all these years, I did my best to map them on top of each other. So it's this immersion each month of that theme. And then at the end of it, they'll have over 200 hours in of this training themselves to make themselves a priority, to develop a holistic lifestyle that's sustainable so they don't burn out, to work with their anxiety and depression, and to transform it into having more sustainable energy so they can be a sane partner, human, daughter, mother, colleague, retiree. So many people are in the helping field and they're tired.
There's a lot of burnout, compassion fatigue, resentment, all the things that come with that, and illness, I mean, inflammation and all that comes with that.
They're
Wow, that
really,
what a
really so fun. It's so challenging. It's so fun. And I do it with them. I'm an equal participant and captain of the ship. We're all on the ship.
Wow, I that what a beautiful birthing. And you're also just speaking to what I think is so vital is you're just taking what's worked for you. Like It's been your story and your unfolding journey, and then it's accumulated into this beautiful, well, and it's not easy to do what you've done, but it feels like something that you were clearly guided to, being able to see the interconnectedness to all those pieces and how to match them together.
Thank you. I've been like studying it for decades, like just like, wait a minute, this sounds familiar. Wait a minute, this sounds like truth. Like, wait, that was what I read that over here, or I experienced that over here. And if it's the truth, it's everywhere. It's universal. So even out of the Catholic religion, like there's pearls everywhere, everywhere, if it's the truth.
If it's the truth. I mean, and I mean, I do feel like since like this is our little alignment series, that I mean, this is bringing people home to themselves, to that, to the truth of who they are, that alignment of, as you said, head, body, soul, heart, source. I have worked with many people who in recovery, early recovery, who I've talked a lot about like living in your truth, and they've interesting, like I'm going to say women probably around my age or older who have been like, how do I know what my truth is? And it's like, well, those are the layers we peel back, right? Of conditioning, of all the ways we've shown up. And the way we get there, though, I mean, I know when I found mindfulness, however many decades ago that was, I was like, everyone needs to know about this. Like it was life changing for me, right? I was like, began to like be in my life, not just check off the list of doing my life. And then I just realized over time, like we need many tools, and something that worked for me may or may not work for you. But the element, as you said, is if there's this interconnectedness of truth beneath it all, they'll all work. And so it's no prescribed thing, but you're sharing the gifts of your journey, and chances are, what's that?
That feels like it's an integrity because I've walked it. It has worked for me, and it may not work for you, and it's still honest for me to offer these particular tools in this sequence. From life experience, from working with so many people for so long, from working with myself for so long.
I know all that effort has to pay. I mean, that's what I often feel. And sometimes things come to me and I'm immediately thinking, how can I share this? Like, this is so great. How can I share this? And maybe I need to linger more in that place before I keep putting out. But what I think then is that even if the sequence in which you teach it isn't exactly how I would need to hear the sequence, the components within it, I'm sure, would resonate with anyone. Just from what you've shared, they're all, it's vast enough. It's not just one thing, like do this thing and you'll be set. It's like we provide a bouquet of opportunities, right?
That's
And then people assemble it as they need it to be.
yeah, and ultimately it like they're following some sort of a general prescription during the 7 months, but on month eight, they now like look at the mapping they've done and all these practices they hopefully now embody, now create a path to wellness that you can live right now, and then it will morph with you and stay on the horse, stay on the horse.
Yes, show up regardless of condition. Like, that's what I think of your morning practice. Like, some days I'm like, oh, and it's like, show up regardless of condition. That's the one thing we have to do.
I like that you've mentioned condition and conditioning because we have all been conditioned. We're all so domesticated and so much of it isn't working, isn't workable,
No,
not
I know.
sustainable. So this school is about deconditioning and reconditioning. And we're working with our subconscious, working with our sympathetic nervous system, we're working with those hidden parts of ourselves called buttons and triggers and reactions, like to track them. Notice how you react and your buttons. Nobody did that to you. Like they're your buttons. Time to work through them. You hit your buttons.
I know that's a huge realization, though. I remember the first time I kind of began to take something like my reaction and turn it on to like look at it for myself was around anger, you know? And I think someone had given me Thich Nhat Hanh's book on anger. And it suddenly was the first time, and I was quite young. I was like a young mother at the time. And it was the first time I had really been introduced to the idea that that was my to own, not somebody else's, which might sound obvious to some and curious to others, but it's that idea that if I feel anger, that's my anger. It's not the person that I feel like inflicted that anger on me, that emotion. It's like, what's beneath that? Why does that anger, why does that bring that emotion up? Right. And that's like, oh, because, you know, I have really strong feelings about that thing that that person did, you know, and where did that come from? So it's a journey. It's a beautiful journey. And also that's why I feel like pairing it with laughter is really important because it's also, right? Because we also don't want to take ourselves too seriously, as the Buddhists say, and our wise gurus say, right? Get right in there and then like, no big deal, right? Throw it all up in the air. Because we all are struggling. We are all, like you said, we're all conditioned. We all have the opportunity to peel it away, and we all have trauma. Like part of, I think, my journey has been to normalize the things that most of us are afraid to talk about, to bring them out into the sunshine a little bit, because we all know someone that's addicted to something. So why do we all pretend that it's not happening, right? Just like we're all going to die, but we all pretend that that's not like happening in the backdrop of our lives, you know? It's a little refreshing that we've gotten a little more transparent in what we're willing to see as the hardness of our journey. And I took something off your website that says, "What a gift to know when to change directions and begin anew." And I have to believe, I mean, you shared like feeling it in your body or lower chakras, and this like this over like. There's a couple things. One thing was that point at which you're like, it's time for a change, and the circumstances in my life have given me the ability to actually respond from that deeper knowing. And then, and you went on your journey, and then you came back. And I want to linger for a minute in this place of coming back to an unstructured space and a newness, because I feel like I've been living that. And I just want to acknowledge, because I've struggled not to grasp backwards to that which feels comfortable, mostly in my service in the world, not to go back into an industry that I know I can't do anymore, but it would give me the safety and security, and I know how to do it, that would be easy. It would be the easy button, but I would not be in alignment with where I'm at. And so how to sit in those, and for you coming back in and being in a new space, I mean, you found your way to the birthing of this beautiful thing. Maybe you can sort of share the process that happened during that time of discomfort and overwhelm. And you said you didn't reach for, you let yourself be fully with that. And was it just like really seating yourself in those practices and not trying to push yourself into clarity before you were ready? Or in meditation, did things come up? Maybe you can share.
Mostly happened in the quiet moments, like evenings and weekends, where I felt either anxiety or insecurity or loneliness. Being in a new place, sort of anonymous, like a baby, like a babe in the woods in town. I didn't have the comforts of the mountain or the waterways. There was no tree in this yard here. I'm in a neighborhood. There was no fence. It was just like this fish tank I was in, like just in town and alone, felt very alone. So what I did was I died in that feeling. So if I felt lonely or insecure or anxious, I stayed in it. I didn't call a friend. I didn't reach for something. I just sit on the stoop and just watch the sun. It was very uncomfortable and a lot of tears. Not looking backwards, no regret, but just like wow. After having so much engagement to no engagement almost.
I know. Were there moments of what have I done?
No.
Okay.
No, it was right. It's just I was getting used to, like, I knew that the space was going to fill with the right thing if I didn't rush or let fear drive me and just. So all of a sudden, air quote, all of a sudden, it's not like that, but it's like, photography. I love photography. I miss photography. The smartphone took me away from my camera. Like, I got lazy with it. I've always loved capturing and following the light, always. Like, and I brought my camera on the trip, and it was broken. Like, and I was like, I'm getting a new body for this thing. I'm doing this. I'm gonna embrace this. And I just was like, okay, so what do you want to do with this? And I wasn't medicating. Like, it was like it felt so like all encompass. My whole body was like, yes, I have space to be creative in this way. I've missed my creativity because I've been overworking and overly engaged with Nurture Through Nature. It was a tipping point. It was too much for one person. Even though I had amazing support and amazing team, ultimately, I was alone in it, ultimately. So that's an example of what happened in the empty space. Like, I could hear music downtown, and I took my bicycle down with my camera, and I introduced myself to the performers, and I said, "Hey, would you like a photographer for the show? I'll get you some images." And they were all touched by that, and I did it. And then I was involved with Friends of the Penobscot River, and they were doing this event. I'm like, "Hey, do you want me to photograph this big the coming together of friends of Casco Bay and friends of Penobscot River?" Because they join in the ocean, and they were having this big talk, and I'm like, and they're like, yeah. So that, and then some guy was there, and he's like, "Hey, are you a photographer?" And I didn't, there's no way I identified as that. And I heard out of my mouth, I was like laughing. Yeah, I said, yes. And he's like, "Oh, give me your card. I'd like to have you come to our island in the off Casco Bay. We have a nonprofit out there." And then it was like clickety click. And it was like, "Oh, I want to support nonprofits. I want to support musicians and artists." And it was like done. And within like that year, I volunteered for 22 events. I did
Oh
it
my
again
God.
the next year. And then last July, I was like, okay, I want to be a little more professional. I think I want to ask for a donation for my time. I think I want to make a website. I think I want to get some bigger names. I think I want to build a portfolio. I want to capture my favorite artists. And
Wow.
it's happening. So
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
it's like, and
Wow.
it's called Follow Joy Photography. And that
Amazing.
feels honest. And I'm only doing what feels joyful. And I mean it. I'm not going to like schlep it. I'm not going to like do parades or like meetings or
Weddings or
nope, not doing that. Not doing it. And so if I feel good about their mission, I'm all in, and I'm starting to get to a place where, my rates are, or my, because at first I just wanted to get the experience and like get out in the world because I didn't know anyone, and this was getting me out in the world in a comfortable way. As an introvert, like I'm doing this thing, and it's making me leave my home and get out of my comfort zone. It's making me develop a skill that I love. And now that it's all technical, like I'm learning the technical aspect of editing and sharing images and creating photos and
That's the
all,
hard part.
making my own website for the first time. And
Oh, nice.
so, yeah. I don't know if
That's
that was too
about, I mean,
long.
it gave you, like, I think of some people, I don't know, it gave you purpose in that moment, and you were connecting it to some, I mean, it purposely moved you out of your house and into the world
Yeah.
through your lens. That's really beautiful.
And that felt like a birth thing, and it feels like it balances the work in the world, because it's like my own secret world in a way behind the camera, And then I get to share it with artists that I love or nonprofits that I support. It's just a way of being like in all of it in a cool, subtle way,
I love that.
That was born in that uncomfortableness. Because I
That's
could have
amazing.
hustled and created a lot of workshops and like plugged into all the yoga studios around here. And it's like, no, don't do it. That's fear. You're afraid. You're uncomfortable. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just wait. Just wait. Just watch. and follow that impulse when you're aligned. Align your stuff and see what moves you and follow that impulse. And something got me on that bicycle with my camera, and it was the beginning of some old rockers that were doing all Queen cover songs. And I was in heaven. I
yeah.
love Queen.
Yeah, I know, me too. Oh, I love that so much. That is amazing. I mean, when clarity comes in moments like that, you can miss it. But if you're paying attention, you can't miss it. It's a beautiful
story. I think
story.
The timing is important on that. Like I tend to follow it when it hits me. Like if I'm feeling good and I get up, I make that contact. I make that move.
Okay. It is interesting though how, and I've observed this cycle of me, I can be in those places. And yes, boom, 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 things align, doors open. And I'm like, oh. And then, like, I was really sick last week and I got down in those lower places. And I was like, what do you think you're doing? Like, you're not making money. This isn't working. And I'm like, oh, you know, so I kind of have learned just wait. Like, just you'll be up here again. And that's when you do your stuff. And when you're down here, you just take care of yourself. Right.
Yeah.
And then you
yeah.
come, but it's really deeply ingrained in me to not, you know, to not sit in discomfort, to take action, to make things happen.
Yes.
So it's, I'm working really hard at not working really hard, to make things happen and to see what arrives at my doorstep as well. And it's really hard. So I'm like really feel gifted in having this conversation with you today because it helps me. Re-energizes me for my journey to stay the course because I know it's not very far away. It's not here right now yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's radical self-care.
Just keep making space for it. Allow, just allow, make space, wait, watch, do your personal work. And all is coming. All the magic, all the magic. And it's not in the future. It's like, I can miss it. It's all day long if looking, you know?
I know. Well, I think my lifestyle has changed quite a bit. In fact, I recently said to my husband something about he's like, Mary, you are doing it now. Like,
yeah.
I see you doing it now. And I'm like, oh,
by
yeah,
the way,
you're right. I am.
Hashtag BPW.
The abundance hasn't quite arrived in like the material sense. It's arrived in many other ways. And that's, you know, another thing. I mean, we've gone over an hour here, but just to touch on like what abundance means to us when we get into alignment and the things come in, and then how, you know, we place a value on, I mean, certain our needs being met. And so we can support ourselves in our physical world, but also abundance comes in a lot of different ways. Would you agree?
Yes. It's like abundance in beauty, abundance in able-bodiedness, abundance in friendships, abundance in laughter, abundance in freedom, so much freedom and choice.
Yeah.
Music, abundant. Beauty's everywhere. And the more I focus on that abundance of this day-to-day life, the more that financial shows up. Support, 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 support. Always. And some of the things you mentioned, the word safety and security, and I imagine that means fiscally, and I do my best to realize that's internal. So sense of safety is internal and security is internal, and nothing is secure outside of me. No one and no thing. It, that's a state. That is a state of mind, a state of heart. Safe from what, anyway?
Yeah.
Protect from what? Who? What? You know?
Yeah.
Like riddled with fear.
Yeah. I mean, there is so much. Well, none of it's within our control. I'm pretty sure of that, except for what I choose for my inner landscape in my relationship to the divine of my knowing. You know, when we peel it all away, we have the earth and each other left.
Yeah.
And I sort of lose that as my guidepost of what, you know, how am I to be of service? Well, how do I work with what's real, deserving and selfishly healing from the what the earth provides for us, and taking care of each other. I don't think there's anything that's probably more important, but yet there are things that pull us outside ourselves. So I thank you for sharing that, Jen. And I think I'm going to shift that into one of my daily practices of remembering.
Remembering, re-dash-membering, get whole, heal all the wounds, like one by one, just remember ourselves.
Yeah. Love them into healing, perhaps.
So many parts of us split off from the taller ones around that did the best they could and didn't know better. Just consciousness is so much more than it used to be, and there's still a long way to go, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how other people are. It's like, how am I doing? And then it works out. I got to do me. And if we all
And
do
then
ourselves, it just works out.
it does work out, That's it's just a good remembering. Oh my gosh, I have so many notes from this talk. But no, I mean it speaks in such an eloquent way to, I don't know, giving ourselves permission, I guess, to do the work, knowing it ripples out and everyone benefits from that, right? That's raising our vibration. And energetically, everybody's vibration rises.
It can't even measure the value of that.
No, that's more abundant than we know.
It affects change, all the change from all the insanity all around us, from
Yeah.
war and politics and separation and all the isms, just gotta keep lifting up.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Thanks so much for coming and lifting us up today and helping us find our way home. Is there anything else you wanted to share about anything you're up to or anything you'd like to message out?
I think the outgoing message is it's not selfish for anyone to take care of themselves. And however anyone does that, it's an individual, very personal path. And I don't think there's anything more important, especially now. And if you need support in that, I'm here as a guide, and a facilitator in all kinds of different realms and ways and means. And I'm at spiralsofwellbeing.com.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thanks for sharing all your practices. I think people really are looking for guidance in that way. And just a reminder, show up every day, and as you've said several times throughout this, the benefits will present themselves if we just stay. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
That was an amazing conversation with such a genuine soul. I just love Jen and so honored that she joined the podcast. I hope you got some good nuggets from that. I know I sure did. It always, whenever I talk to her, it reminds me of my connection to the earth as I look out my window and see daffodils in bloom here in Vermont and the awakening of spring. So my heart feels like it's lightening up and opening as well. That's one thing about sloshing through the winters in Vermont. They take us inside and then the spring pulls us out in a new, beautiful, mostly, way. Sometimes I feel like I'm coming out of a cocoon and it's a little hard. But the spring makes the wings spread and all things become possible again. So that's really beautiful. And in that same vein, beautiful friend of mine, Jess Lantos. We're both energy healers and yogis and just souls finding our way forward. And she and I are holding a spring retreat May 3rd and 4th. So Friday evening, overnight through Saturday till about 5 p.m. It's in Lincoln, Vermont at a place called Meta Earth. If you're in the area, it's really reasonably priced at $275, includes all your meals, your overnight stay, beautiful practices, energy healing, walks, journaling, time to reset and renew for the spring. In a beautiful community, we're going to hold about 15 people there. We're a little more than halfway full, so there are some spots left. If you're interested, reach out to me, marystreeter.co@gmail, or visit my website. Let me know you're interested, and we can talk, or you can just register. I have lots of information about it, and we'll be getting an agenda out soon. So I just wanted to let you know that's on the horizon, and also my writing groups and my private practice. So Writing from the Mountaintop is a writing collective. If you're a writer or you like to write and you're wondering, am I a writer? Then yes, you're a writer, because people that aren't writers don't wonder that. And you want to heal through your writing or write the book or just learn how to expand and find your deep voice, reach out to me for that as well. We just started our next series. Doesn't mean you couldn't jump in, because everyone's at a different level in there. And we will do a summer series as well. And then what else is happening? Oh, well, my private practice. So I'm looking for clients to work with one-on-one. And as that grows, I'll have group offerings. So, I say I'm an integrative health practitioner because I marry Eastern and Western medicine, and I've worked in both and studied integrative health. And I bring that together to create a healing path for you. I mean, you're your own healer. I just guide you and give you some tools. Just like climbing the mountaintop in your writing, it's the same with our human journey. And I love to work with people that are ready to embrace and transform and meet themselves where they're at now. And I also, am a really nice way for people to transition out of programs, whether it's a treatment program for substance use disorder, or you're dealing with anxiety or some other mental health conditions that you've been working in a program with and it's time to transition out, or if you're struggling with chronic pain. Again, I'm just that continuum of care, and I am a coach. I am many things. You can look at my website. But I just want to let you know I do have a private practice seeing people both in person and virtually. Energy healing is a part of what I do, but it's more just to get your energy body in balance and give you some tools to manage your energy. And it's just a piece of the whole comprehensive work that I do with you. So just putting a plug in for that, because I'm trying to grow that business after 30 years and over 30 years, both in our medical field and then in an integrative health practice that I help co-create for treatment. I'm now emerging on my own at this season of my life, and I'm really excited about it. So check out my website, reach out if you want to just have a clarity call and chat. All right, wishing you all much love. Enjoy this day without condition. Do something kind for yourself. Make radical care, self-care, a priority in your life. Because that's what we need to do. We all need to embrace that, and that will help raise us all up. All right. Find something to celebrate. Don't forget the power of the plants, and I will see you next time.